move up in life and do the social climbing instead of doing what they believe actually is right, or even standing by their friend who is doing something ethically moral. I think that idea really struck me because I think what she's saying there is true. A lot of people, after watching Wicked and while they were drawing these political allegories to the US, they tended to think of Alphaba as a social progressive and Glinda as a conservative. I actually don't really agree with that. I personally see Glinda as a centrist, because even though she is not acting out of like an ethical place, I think she's largely driven by performativity and wanting to appear good, which I think a lot of centrists and liberals, I guess, tend to do. And I think, honestly, that is most people. They want to look good. There are not a lot of people who really oftentimes would want to act solely based on their personal politics and their sense of ethics. I think they more so want to appear in a certain way. But then there's that other side of the coin, right? Which is like, everybody thinks that they're Alphaba. And that struck me as very true as well. I wanted to think about why people would think of themselves as Alphaba when, you know, people, I think, usually are more so a Glinda type. And I was just like sitting on that, thinking about why that is. And in a strange way, I think it has to really do with the depiction of Alphaba as being a person who has been abandoned by society and who has been really alienated by most of the people around her, as a person who is ostracized and then later on politically persecuted. The way that we see Alphaba's life develop is a really tragic one, but ostracization and being alienated from her peers is kind of the main theme throughout her life. Society is so apparently repulsed by her and consider her as such an anomaly that even her family members have a lot of trouble being around her, wanting to be associated with her. I think that if you are a person who belongs to a marginalized group of people, perhaps that at some times has been your experience as well, where you also have felt ostracized, left out, or made to feel strange because of who you are, made to feel that you are a freak in some way. Alphaba is also an incredibly sympathetic character, despite the fact that she has been so ostracized by her peers and even the people who she cares about the most in the world, her family, and then later on, even her best friend. She always seems to do the right thing. She's like a huge Mary Sue, and that way she's smarter than you, she's more powerful than you, she has a stronger sense of ethics than you, and she is willing to speak out in defiance of the people who do not have faith in her, and in defiance of people who have made her feel small, have made other people feel small as well. This is kind of the ultimate underdog story, and Alphaba, I think, is kind of born to be a hero. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this character and why people, I think, resonate so much with her, especially in how the story unfolds and develops her as a hero after this music break. I feel like I couldn't do this playlist, I couldn't put it together without putting in some Seiko Matsuda, because she's like big girly pink energy. But then also, it wouldn't make sense, if we're going to talk about rivals, to also lace in some Akina Nakamori. So you're going to hear two of the quote-unquote biggest rivals of Showa era pop idol history. Here's Seiko Matsuda with Pink Mozart.
This is Bird Note. On a chilly day, midwinter, you notice a large nest made of sticks high in a leafless cottonwood. Atop the nest sits a large, dark shape, its broad head sporting two ear-like tufts, suggesting a cat's ears. A female great-horned owl is incubating two eggs. A light snow falls on her back as her mate roosts unseen in a nearby conifer. Since December, this pair has been hooting back and forth regularly at night. Why risk the year's most severe weather by nesting now? Probably because great-horned owlets, which hatch after a month of incubation, must remain near their parents a long time compared to many other birds, right through summer and into early fall. During this time, young owls learn the skills they need to hunt on their own before the rigors of the next winter set in. This adaptive strategy has proven very successful. Great-horned owls are the supreme predatory night birds from the northernmost forests of Canada to Tierra del Fuego. We have a photo of that owl, covered in snow, on our Facebook page. Have a look. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
There's a girl on my screen, but she won't have to speak. Really just revolving back and round from the corner to the smiley black eyed interior zone. And it goes beyond that. It's a crack on the front of the
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. You just heard Pretty by Worrywart. My name is Leslie. If you're just joining me here in the final block of this hour, I've been talking about Wicked. I've been talking about the characters Elphaba and Glinda from Wicked. And I've also been talking about the song Defying Gravity, which is the final number of Wicked the Movie Musical Part 1 and the final number of Act 1 of the musical, the onstage musical. I think something dawned on me when I was like thinking really deeply about why people really resonate with Elphaba. And it's, you know, a lot of the reason why is what I had mentioned before, right? She's like, she's written in a particular way. She's an underdog. She is a really sympathetic character. She is kind of like the ultimate upstanding Mary Sue hero. And then I realized something else. And this is going to be a little bit of a stretch. This is going to be the level of like, Leslie, you're doing too much, because at this point I have dug deep. I've gone too deep, and I'm like all the way up to my shoulders in dirt, essentially. So I'm not an educator, but I think maybe this has something to do with it. I recall when I was learning about like sociopolitical movements and activism when I was younger in school, and even actually now as well, when a lot of the times, like on like traditional media and on social media, there's like a special celebration that comes up. People are often celebrating the person, like a social activist or a writer or a scholar of a movement, but we're not often taught about the full movement itself or the organizing. And I think a big part of that is because like it's really messy, it gets very complicated, and a lot of the times when we're talking about like a particular type of social movement, we're coming up against ideas that are quite philosophical, that are very nuanced, and maybe not all that digestible for a quick, like, you know, 15-minute pop quiz in class, or like for a 13-page carousel post on Instagram. And of course, it's not as though like it's not important to know about the names and the achievements of people in certain movements, like MLK Jr., for the Black Civil Rights Movement, or Harvey Milk for the Queer Rights Movement. It's not as though it's not important to know about what they've done and know about their lives. But at the same time, I think it makes us inadvertently think about social activism as something that individuals do, charismatic leaders do, but not necessarily that it is often a really hard thing to do, for lack of a better word. There's not a lot of like illuminating around struggle, ongoing struggle, mind you. And all of the little bits and pieces that go into the rest of it. And so when we think about righteousness and justice and fighting for what you believe in, I think people often end up thinking about individuals rather than whole collectives of people. Because think about it, right? In the movie, we don't actually see a whole lot of the political organizing that the animals are doing. And the animals are actually even the people who are most marginalized in this political situation in the world of Oz. Elphaba doesn't really have anything to do with it. Elphaba is just kind of like out here and like learned some stuff and then decided to take up the mantle as well. And at the same time, because of that, Elphaba appears to be very isolated, as though she does not have her own network of support. It's well established already that she does not have very many allies on her side when it comes to her having been bullied and discriminated against because of her green skin. But even when she has shown her allyship to the animals, we don't see her organizing politically with them either. For me, it makes me think about whether or not her, I don't know, this is kind of silly, I guess, but it makes me kind of think about whether or not her organizing is going to be sustainable in the future, right? Because now, not only is she apparently doing it mostly by herself, but importantly, she's also being politically persecuted to a level in which, like, the government legitimately wants to kill her. But, you know, this is kind of like the exact thing, as I said, that we're kind of taught in schools and kind of taught in, like, an informational knowledge post or something like that. When we learn about social movements, we learn about the individuals, the charismatic leaders of the movement. I think the story of social activism, if we really want to interpret it in that way, allows us to empathize with Elphaba, because it is, the story is framed in kind of that similar way that we're taught in schools about the charismatic one person, charismatic, you know, leader, or the tragic martyr of a social movement. And at the same time, I don't think that it's necessarily justified for people to feel that they are Elphaba. I really do find that most people would end up becoming a Glinda instead, because think about what Elphaba is putting herself through, right? She's literally being hunted by the government. You know, even when we're learning about those important figures in these social activists, many of those leaders, many of those figures are assassinated, or they are censored for a very long time, or they are legitimately hunted by the government and subject to state-sanctioned murder, essentially. Frankly, how many of us are ready, willing, and able to be in their shoes, to be in the shoes of an Elphaba? I don't think that many of us are. But many people feel the urgency to take up some kind of cause because of the horrible flaming garbage can that many countries' politics are in right now, US and beyond. If I can offer just like one final thought, I guess, it would be to encourage people who are kind of stuck on that question, are you an Elphaba or a Glinda, to actually consider what they can be doing in this particular time to get involved in social and political organizing for people who are the most marginalized in society and who will most likely face the worst kinds of political and social persecution. We're seeing that unfolding at an accelerated rate towards newcomer, immigrant, refugee communities, to trans communities, particularly in the US. But of course, it's also happening in Canada too. Let us try to consider how we can organize alongside those who are being very unapologetically oppressed right now. I hope that what Wicked has done is to prompt people to think more with passion and intensity and ferocity about social and political organizing, and about struggle and liberation, and how they can contribute to those things. I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts on Wicked? I know you have thoughts about Wicked. Everybody's got a thought about Wicked. My name is Leslie. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today for Typically Tuesdays as we went on this romp and this thought adventure. One final song for you today, then, to close off this kind of like Green Lady versus Pink Lady playlist. Kuroi Tsubasa, Black Wings by The Brilliant Green. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'll talk to you very soon.